If it's nerdy, we're into it.
Gaming, movies, television, wrestling, comics, whatever. We are Kyle Eckert and Chris Heck, two lifelong friends with a passion for the world of geekery.
And this is the Geek Ketchup Podcast.
What is up, Geek Ketchup listeners? Welcome to Season 2, Chapter 35. Before we get started, we wanted to take a moment to say thank you for listening, and if you haven't already, check us out on social media, Geek Ketchup Podcast on Facebook and YouTube, at Geek Ketchup Pod on Instagram and Twitter. Links to all these accounts are available on our website, geekketchuppodcast.com. There's even a link to our Patreon and PayPal pages if you'd like to support the show. Of course, if you already follow us and would like to help to spread the love of geekery, we ask that you leave us a review on your favorite podcasting platform and share us with your friends and family. Today, we're joined by friends and fellow podcasters Jay Davis and Elias Stokes from the podcast Super Bracket Bros. We'll catch up with Jay and Eli on how they met, their podcast, and of course, what they've been geeking out on lately. Welcome back, GK listeners, and let's get it rolling here as we are indeed joined by two very upstanding gentlemen podcasters, Jay and Eli. How are you guys doing?
Oh, I think we're doing pretty good. I guess I shouldn't speak for Eli. You doing all right, Eli?
I'm doing good. You usually speak for the both of us, so I'll roll with that.
Thank you.
Well, we very much appreciate you guys coming on the show here, and I was actually going to ask real quick just to establish the audio stage for everyone. I was going to let you introduce yourselves, but you kind of already did, but Eli, just give the listeners a quick shout so they can establish your voice.
Hello. Louder.
Nice. Okay. No, you're good. Jay?
Hi, guys. It's Jay here from Super Bracket Bros, and absolutely excited to be on Geek Ketchup for the very first time.
Nice. Yes. Yeah, it's kind of a culminating moment for us, I think. We have a little small circle of podcasting friends, and I think this is the final crossover of definitely locking in somebody has been on somebody else's show. But rounding out our little group here, of course, is the host or the co-host with the most, Chris.
What's good, Geek Ketchup family? And I think that based on what you just said, would that make this the end game?
Well done, sir. Well done. Nice.
He's had that one in his back pocket all day. I guarantee it.
First thought when I woke up this morning was, it is finally happening after
you're 18. You're just
months.
Sitting at your desk, just focusing. Got to get it right. Only one shot.
Got this line. Got to deliver it perfectly. But perfect. Thank you, everyone. So we're going to dive right in and chat with you guys about all things geekery. But to get us started, tell us a little bit about your podcast, if you don't mind. Tell us about Super Bracket Bros, what you do, and where listeners can find you.
Yeah, Super Bracket Bros is the podcast where me and Eli, we take 32 fictional characters and put them in a tournament against each other. So this ranges from, we're recording Batman versus Tarzan. You know, we've recorded Indiana Jones versus Robin, you know, and all the way back to season one, you know, we've talked All Might versus the Kung Fu Panda himself, Poe. You know, we grab characters from every corner of every pop culture universe and pit them against one another. And, you know, we try to keep it laid back. You know, it's a pretty cool and easy conversation. We don't get too technical about it, but it's really just a venue for me and Eli to talk about characters that we love, characters that we think are cool, and, you know, and to explore new things. You know, I read an entire book series for, you know, a couple episodes ago that I would have never experienced without Super Bracket Bros. So yeah, you can find us anywhere you can find Geek Ketchup, whether it's Pandora, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, you can find Super Bracket Bros. So definitely, you know, if you have time in your day for another podcast, then Super Bracket Bros, we would definitely appreciate you coming to check us out.
Yeah, it is definitely a fun listen. I've been on the show a few times, definitely listened to you all the time. Most recently, that Robin Indiana Jones matchup. I had a lot of stake in that one. I won't spoil what happened at the end and who moved on, but I was really rooting for Robin the whole matchup. I was like, man, my boy has got to move on in this tournament.
Yeah, that was an extremely fun one. I mean, I don't think we could have had a not fun discussion with Indiana Jones involved.
Yeah,
because he's just such this crazy rambling character. He's so much fun to talk about. But yeah, I know Kyle's been on with us twice, and Chris is coming on later this season to talk about, I think, if I'm remembering correctly, Master Tigress, also from Kung Fu Panda, going up against Daryl Dixon from The Walking Dead. So you're not going to want to miss out on that.
Very excited. I was thinking about that today. I was like, I'm finally going to get my chance to go on Super Bracket Bros.
Right. Yeah, I've been on twice. I got to talk about Star Wars and Mortal Kombat. So got to catch up, Chris.
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah. Awesome, awesome. That is the podcast and where you guys can find them. So like I said, we're going to talk about all things geekery here today. So one question we like to ask every guest that comes on the show, it is, what have you been geeking out on lately? And it could be anything from the world of geekery. It could be a new TV show. It could be a comic book. It could be an IP that we've never heard of. We had Hyperspace, the band, on it, and they were really geeking out on a new app or things like that. So we'll kick to Eli here first. What is something you have been geeking out on a lot lately?
Well, I've been on a bit of an anime kick recently, and I just binged the first season of Demon Slayer.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, on Netflix, and that was so good. It was so choice. Just, if you ever grew up on Shonen, that show really encapsulates that style, but whereas a lot of different Shonen anime adaptations, they kind of trudge along with a lot of filler and things like that, Demon Slayer is just straight to the point. No fluff, really. Just action-packed with great characters that you really love, and some really funny moments too. And I'm just painfully waiting for the movie for the chance I can watch it, because that looks so good. But no, Demon Slayer right now, I'm debating starting to read up, because I just got to know what happens next.
Yeah. See, the anime's got such a deep lore. Like when these new shows come out, I was thinking Netflix has been really hitting the anime game a lot lately with new shows and miniseries and things like that. But they all come from places with a lot of deep lore already. So finding spoilers or like a book series it's based off of is, I would imagine, pretty easy.
Oh yeah. Especially, I just found out that the movie is like its own, like it's part of the canon, so it's almost like necessary for viewership. And it's just like, oh my god, now now it's not part of my duty. Now you put this weight on me I wasn't expecting.
Right.
So what's the overall premise? Like, I am admittedly not huge into anime, or really haven't watched or got into a lot of anime. So, but the title Demon Slayer is immediately catching my attention.
Oh yeah.
So like, what's the premise?
So it takes place in around the turn of the century in Japan, sort of that middling period between, like, there's the onset of trains and automobiles, sort of like pre-World War I era. And it's about this boy named Tanjiro, who just lives in this remote village with his family he loves very much. And he comes back one day, and his family was murdered by demons, except for his sister, Nezuko, who has been transformed into a demon. And so the show is all about him becoming a demon slayer, part of this organization called the Demon Slayer Corps, to vanquish demons, save people, and eventually try to find a cure for his sister. And if anybody out there is a big My Hero Academia fan, Tanjiro has such Deku vibes. He is like the goodest of boys that you just want to protect and see him succeed at all times. And so if you have any love for just like action, familial stuff, it's just gorgeous animation across the board. Demon Slayer. I mean, it's this oddest mix of like really adorable, but also horrifying points. Cause the demons, they don't mess around. You know, people's heads get ripped off. Limbs are cut. This guy has cobwebs, and you see people like basically get cut by cobwebs and turning into cubes. But then like, this other character acts all adorable all the time. It's like, oh, that's so sweet. And then as this demon goes crazy, like bloodthirsty. If you have time, Demon Slayer, I think it's about 26 episodes, 20 minutes each. It's a very bingeable show that, I mean, it blew up. Like, I think the movie is the highest grossing movie in the history of Japan. So it's kind of been a cultural, like, meteoric rise within the zeitgeist. So, yeah, if you have a Netflix account and you're looking for just an action-packed show with lovable characters, Demon Slayer is a really good, really easy recommend.
It sounds cute and gruesome.
Exactly.
And my brain immediately jumps to, like, the Christmas critters from South Park that are, like, adorable, but they kill everyone in, like, vicious fashion.
Yeah. It's true.
Sounds right on par, right on par. We'll shift it over to Jay a little bit here. Jay, what have you been geeking out on?
So I got a couple things that I've been either wrapping up or I'm really into right now. I just finished Spider-Man Miles Morales. I got my PS5 a couple weeks ago now, and so that has been an incredible amount of fun. I mean, yeah. Spider-Man is just, you know, the original was obviously so much fun, and they just, you know, transplanted that into Miles Morales. It's just such a cool character that I got to learn about through Into the Spider-Verse that I was so happy to get to be able to play as, you know, in a video game. So it was really cool to play Miles Morales. I finished that. I'm working on the Platinum now, except one of the trophies is going to make me play the whole game over again. And yeah. it's like, you know, maybe it's put that on pause for a little bit while I work on other things. Because I'm also 120 hours deep into Slay the Spire. I don't know if you guys have ever played or heard of that.
No. What is that?
So, and Eli's been playing longer than I have, even though I've owned it for less amount of time. I have, you know, three or four times as many hours on it. I've dived into this game. It's a card deck building roguelike, essentially, where you select a character, and with that character, you're given a certain amount, a set of cards that you're able to draft as you continue through the spire, as you try to slay the spire. And, you know, you'll go through floors, and each floor you'll have a different thing that can happen to you, whether it's a combat or a random event, or you'll be able to recover some health for your character. Okay. And so you'll go, you'll build your deck, you'll get better cards, you can do more damage or heal yourself. And there's so many, the best thing about the game is there's so many different archetypes for each character, is you can build a deck based off of cards that are supposed to do negative things to you, you know, there are literal curses in the game that you can turn around to your own advantage. And there's just so many different ways in which you can go about it. And my brain, you know, my video games, you know, like, my favorite video game of all time is XCOM. So, like, you know, the numbers and the odds and, you know, okay, I think I'm probably going to get this hand the next time I draw, you know, I'm like 75% sure, I'm sure it's going to be fine. And yeah. When it doesn't, figuring your way out of that mess that you put yourself into is always one of my favorite things to do in video games. So Slay the Spire, you know, I think it's available on Switch and PC on Steam. I think I got it for $15. It's one of the best purchases I've made in quite a long time.
And you said it's roguelike?
Yeah, so essentially how it operates is each time you attempt to slay the spire, each time you start a new run, you'll be unlocking new cards, new relics that you can attain that'll boost, you know, the cards that you go through. And then, but by the time you get to, whether you beat the run or you lose before you make it to the final boss, everything gets reset, so you don't retain any of those cards, you know, that gotcha. You use any of those relics, so you are forced into new play styles every single time that you play. So you can't get comfortable with playing with a certain set of cards, you know, you have to build it from anew every single time. And each time you defeat it, then another difficulty layer is added on called Ascensions. You know, basically like a prestige, you know, like you'd get in Call of Duty, where it adds, you know, one more thing on top of another. You know, regular enemies are tougher, then bosses are tougher, then you get less health, et cetera, et cetera. You know, and so that's kind of where the roguelike comes in. But yeah, it's absolutely a blast.
That's awesome. Might have to look into that. Kyle and I have been talking recently, like, roguelikes are just like a huge part of my gaming now. Like, I can't get enough of them. So
yeah,
definitely have to look into that one, because I had not heard of that at all.
Yeah, Slay the Spire. Eli's the one that got me into it. I had watched him play quite a bit, actually, you know, via Discord. He would stream it, and I would watch him play, and I was like, this is This is an easy game, Eli. I was kind of half paying attention. I was like, come on,
man. It was kind of like he was watching it and then telling me what to do. Because it was just like Puppet Master. Because like I just like throwing cards out and seeing what happens while Jay is just like, that's not the synergy. Like, what are you doing? So
getting all technical about it through the screen.
Yeah, no,
exactly. My math brain took over and I was like, that's not optimal, Eli.
But I was just like,
what are you doing?
I was like, cards go brrr, basically.
Eli's just chaos. Just chaos. Like, it doesn't matter. Just this one and this one. I just want to see what happens.
That's funny.
Yeah, that is like in its own Switch. That sounds like a solid, I'm thinking, like, card games to me kind of always are good in a portable sense. Whether on your mobile but the fact that it is on Switch. Like, as soon as you said, like, it was on Switch, I was like, oh, okay. Because it had that vibe of maybe being a PC Steam-only game. But as soon as you hear Switch, I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I debated about getting it on Steam or Switch, but I have not regretted it whatsoever. It's so nice to be able to take it in your hand around your house and also be able to play it while you're watching Netflix or something on the TV, have it in your hands. In fact, the other day, Eli was over at my apartment and we threw Slay the Spire up on the big screen. It looked so strange. I was like, this is not how it's meant to be played. Like, it needs to be in my hand. Like, it was the oddest thing I've ever seen. But yeah,
right.
Yeah, exactly. Like, filling up this screen that, you know, I just had Miles Morales on, and it's like, this doesn't track.
I think if that's when they made Gwent from The Witcher into its own side game. Picturing that on a big screen, it wouldn't be fitting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's the same kind of vibe. But yeah, Slay the Spire, a lot of fun. Absolutely.
Nice, yeah. Well, I mean, it sounds like you guys have obviously known each other for a long time, recommending games and definitely live close to each other. So we'll kind of dip back into the podcast a little bit, and how did you guys meet each other? I mean, Chris and I are lifelong friends. Are you guys in the same kind of situation? You've been friends for a long time, high school, college, before all that?
Yeah, we've been friends for quite a while now, back middle school, Eli.
We were in the same homeroom all throughout middle school, high school, and then room together first year of college, so we've seen a lot of each other, for better or worse.
I knew he was going to get in there with the "for better or worse." I knew it was coming. I was trying to figure out how to get it before.
You know, if you can like tell some like two people are really good friends, it depends on the amount of like flack they give each other. So whenever you hear Jay make a disparaging comment about some dumb joke I said, that's just true friendship.
Like a marriage.
Yeah, exactly. No, yeah, we've been friends since middle school, and it was just one day in high school, you know, we realized we were going to the same college, and we're like, hey, we should do this thing, and, you know, roommates in college, and that was a lot of fun. But then, yeah, we started the podcast, 2019, right? So two years ago. We've been going for about a year and a half now, I think. I think it was November of 2019.
Okay.
So it was... just, you know, a couple months, you know, before COVID hit and everything. So, but yeah, it's been so much fun. I mean, we came up with the idea because, well, I didn't force, but I asked Eli and a couple other friends. I was like, you know, if I came up with a bracket of, say, a modest 128 fictional characters and put them in a tournament against each other, would you guys help me figure out a winner? And that's kind of, you know, how the idea found its way to what it is now. You know, 32 is
yeah, 128. I was gonna say, like, you weren't ambitious at all.
No, it only took us two full days to settle out all the debates. Yeah, I mean, it went all the way up to Professor X, you know, going against the lowest seed. You know, a pack of Ewoks, I think, was in that tournament. So. Yeah, exactly. and that was the whole thing. You know, that was, you know, it was me, Eli, and I think two or three other guys. And, you know, that was the thing that we did. We were trading votes. You know, it was like, you know, oh, what's the thing that's going to irk Jay the most? Oh, if I vote for these Ewoks, the thing he hates most on Earth, then, you know, that's really going to get him. So that would be really funny.
It got to the point where we were, like, making packs. Like, hey, if you vote for my character, I'll vote for yours. Or, like, sabotaging each other. So the tournament was just thrown out the window, basically. And there was no credibility, but whatever credibility that might have happened just...
It all comes down to, like, Ewoks versus the little robot guys that fix the pod, you know, the pod racers, just minor characters that can't do anything. Like, this is a great, you know, Sweet 16.
it all derived from that day. And I was like, you know what, Eli, we're pretty funny, huh?
The genesis of all podcasts.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's very unoriginal. It's very unoriginal. But, you know, it's like, you know, we should do this in front of a microphone. And, you know, our favorite podcasts, you know, particularly the McElroy brothers, you know, from the Adventure Zone to Mabim Bam, you know, some of my favorite podcasts. And the thing they always say, that the reason that they do the podcast with each other, with their family, is, you know, they started it because they just wanted a way to check in with their family, you know, sure. Have a weekly, you know, venue to be able to talk to the people they love. And, you know, it was the same thing for us. You know, we were on different paths, you know, doing different professions, you know, living in different areas of the state, you know, Wisconsin, where we're from at the time. And so we were like, you know, this is a good way to be able to stay connected to each other. And, you know, I mean, we've been on almost every single week, except, you know, in between seasons since, and, you know, it's working out pretty great.
Nice. Yeah, I know that Chris and I can relate almost. It's funny you say, like, the genesis of every podcast. That sounds very familiar, of kind of hitting all the points of, like, you know, long-term friends trying to find a way to continue to be friends and have a shared interest. Also, ours, I think, was a group chat that we thought was really funny and turned into this.
Kyle only agreed because he thought that it would be better than getting, you know, 60 text messages from me every day being like, oh, did you see this trailer? Or have you played this game? Or, man, this comic is just kicking ass. Kyle's like, once every 2 weeks, that's the only time we're talking
about. Yeah. Every 2 weeks, I give you 90 minutes, and then that's it.
Then you're cutting them off. We're done.
You do a lot, and then you got a timer. Like, you're on the clock.
Yeah. No, that's sweet. That's sweet. Well, like, podcasting obviously is huge, like, in taking off, but was there ever the idea of taking this into a different realm, or like a YouTube channel, or, you know, finding some video aspect or something, a different medium than podcasting, I guess?
Well, I think the biggest thing is that I did think about video. And I mean, if I was a more skilled individual, you know, you could potentially see something like Death Battle, you know, because, like, that was obviously, you know, what was an inspiration for this. You know, the fact that I knew there was already an internet culture around this subject about, you know, fictional characters beating each other up, you know, there's multiple wikis dedicated to, you know, scaling these characters to each other, you know, and trying to make sense of an anime character versus a real world character. You know, there's whole debates about this and stuff. So I knew there was an audience, but, you know, there was a couple podcasts. I mean, two of them literally called Who Would Win. Two of the guys that we had on our last episode, who are great guys, you know, really was part of the inspiration that I felt like I could start Super Bracket Bros.
That's awesome.
YouTube would just be our faces on YouTube talking about the same thing. And yeah. I'm good here on this side of the microphone personally, you know, so I guess I don't know how Eli feels about it, but yeah, I would think it would just, you know, be our podcast in a different form.
No, that's basically it. I mean, any other medium, can't really think of how this would translate. I mean, we're already teetering the line of copyright issues. So I can't imagine a lot of other, like, written material or visual material would. I mean, that would require a lot more time than we probably would want to give. So, no, I think as read it is, like, just speaking about all these fictional things is more than enough to convey what we want to do and introducing people and new stuff.
Well, y'all do a great job, and I know I was curious about this question simply because this type of format, it does kind of lend itself to video, right, and animation, just given characters. But you all do such a good job at describing the characters and the battle arena you pick and like the different potential events that could happen throughout the span of the 10 fights that like when I'm sitting there listening to you, like I just get these really great visuals in my head. And I told Kyle, I was listening to one of your chapters not too long ago and I was out riding my lawnmower, mowing the grass and had my AirPods in. So not quite totally noticeable that I was listening to something, but my neighbors had to thought either I was crazy or that I just absolutely loved mowing grass more than anything else in the world, because like just listening to you all talk, like I was just rolling and like I was just like immersed thinking about, you know, Kung Lao and Daryl's minivan and like these different things, and you do a great job, but then it got me thinking like, oh, like if they took that, and I know I'm committing you to like 100 hours a week here, but if you could take that and then like animate it for me, it'd be awesome.
Oh, see, that's the thing, is like the divide, you know, because like we would obviously love to gain the same popularity that like a death battle has, you know, or sure. something like that. But yeah, obviously that requires animation skills, you know, I severely lacking in that. But then also, you know, the reason that the most popular channels are as popular as they are is because they talk about really popular characters.
True.
And, you know, me and Eli, we want to talk about every character, you know, it's really as simple as that. You know, we talked, you know, a couple episodes about Kavoth from the Kingkiller Chronicles, you know, which is a fantasy novel that doesn't have a TV or movie adaptation, but it's still a really cool character. You know, despite my various gripes with it, Eli, it was still a lot of fun to talk about. And you know, we want to talk about Daryl from right. Dungeons and Daddies, the Dungeons and Dragons podcast. You know, like we wanted to talk about, you know, all these cool things, you know, from these niche areas of the world and mediums and, you know, all of these things. And so, you know, if we don't ever, you know, reach, you know, amazing successes, you know, it'll still give us a venue to, you know, to get to talk about characters that, you know, some people would have never heard of otherwise.
Yeah, and you do it great. And I know that was kind of the first thing that caught my attention when we first learned about you, started, you know, chatting on social media and seeing your stuff, is you would put out your promos for your episodes. And I'd be like, man, that's a really interesting matchup. Or, you know, I would have to go and actually like take a moment to look up a character because, you know, like I said, I'm not as familiar with anime or whatever it may be. So I think you all do a pretty good job with that. And that really helps make it more interesting than, you know, Batman versus Superman, you know, and all yeah. of that kind of stuff that is played out a lot more. But to your point too, I think we can relate, Kyle, right? Because one of the things that we felt that the podcast has helped us do is to force us into learning about new genres or new IPs or playing a new game we wouldn't, or reading a new comic that we wouldn't. And it's really kind of been one of the best parts about podcasting, even though it's not really an obvious benefit or answer to it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I think especially you guys, through natural conversation of talking about these characters, you promote them and then you promote the IP that they came from. And I'm going to give a shout out to She-Ra, which is a show on Netflix that I overlooked. Like, you know, you see it get previewed when you boot up Netflix or whatever, but I never really had any interest until you started to dissect certain characters on the podcast. And you're like, I think there might be more to this show than I'm willing to give it. So when you guys get that platform and start talking about these characters, you put the light on them. And I think it exposes people to characters or shows or books, like Chris was saying, that they normally wouldn't have ever have touched or looked at. I think that's pretty cool.
No, that's the best compliment we can get, is when somebody is just like, oh, I never would have seen that if you guys hadn't talked about it, which is why we, like you said, Chris, we don't just do with the Batmans and the Supermans and all the other Titans. We try to find the things that we like that don't get talked about a lot. And so with the She-Ra or Kavoth from the Kingkiller Chronicle, you probably don't hear those characters brought up a lot in, you know, different podcasts, whereas you could look up 50 Superman podcasts or something like that. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know Eli was the one who first, you know, suggested She-Ra as a great universe to use on the podcast, you know, and I also want to mention that it has the unfortunate side effect of everything that I watch, every new medium I consume, I automatically am like, would this make a good character for the podcast? and that's all I could think about. And I have to get myself out of that mindset. Is like, just enjoy the thing that you're experiencing. You know, don't think about next season. Don't think about, you know, will they fit in? You know, I have a document with like 500 plus characters in it, you know, a huge Excel list that I have plenty of material to pick from. Like that's the other thing. Like we're not going to run out of material anytime soon.
No, not at all. And I know we have similar things where they're just not taboo. It's not that we're never going to talk about them, but some things you just want to keep to yourself and just to enjoy, because bringing it to the podcast world, all of a sudden it turns into planning and research and like actually forming your thoughts around the character. And sometimes you just want to be like, I just enjoy this because I enjoy this.
Guilty pleasures, you know?
Yeah, why not? Why
conversely, not? I did get Jay to read that book. Or you listened to the audiobook, which was like, what, 100 hours long?
Yeah, it was insanely long. And thankfully, like, I could listen to things as I work, thankfully. Otherwise, I would never have found the time to be able to read or listen to the Kingkiller Chronicles. But yeah, it's stuff like that. You know, now I have that as part of my not repertoire, but you know, experiences that, you know, I really enjoyed. So
nice. Well, kind of along the same lines here, as you bring new characters into the brackets and things like that, over your three seasons now, have you had a favorite character that's been involved in your tournament that they've been hardcore rooting for?
Oh, that's the why are you throwing that question? That's the hard one.
Yeah, I know what you mean. There's definitely, I mean, me being, you know, another aspect of the genesis of this podcast is I'm a huge college basketball fan, you know, so March Madness is always, you know, one of my favorite times of the year. And, you know, part of the reason I love it is because I love seeing what, you know, tiny school I've never heard of is going to make it into the Sweet 16. So I love upset stories. Yeah. And so, you know, our very first season, we had seeded the characters ourselves, just kind of, I wouldn't say throwing, you know, numbers at a dartboard, but, you know, it was pretty close. It was just sort of, you know, shambled together. And since then, we've moved on and we have, you know, our listeners do the voting so that they seed our characters, which I think is one of the best decisions we've ever made. But that first season, we had Poe as an 8 seed, you know, 1 through 8, he was a bottom seed. That was a mistake. That was a very bad decision by the selection committee.
I remember, Jay, you were just like, he's just a panda. Like, and it's like, you made the mistake. You made the mistake everyone else in the movie made, Jay.
I had not watched Kung Fu Panda for several years, obviously. And then I watched the movie the day before we're going to talk about him going against All Might, one of the most powerful anime characters, one of our favorite characters that ever. And, you know, we were rationalizing and realizing like, oh, man, Poe's going to win this. Oh, crap. And, you know, after that, you know, it was easy. You know, it's easy to root for him and get behind him and stuff. And, you know, and you look back and I think we had Danny Phantom, you know, in the first and second season because I really wanted him to win. But, you know, there's always, you know, you make up these stories in your mind. You know, we had Yennefer last season as a 6 seed, you know, win a couple matches, you know, that we had really great discussions with the other with the guests that we had on the podcast with her. And, you know, like you generate these stories in your own mind, you know, like how would she act in like a tournament setting? You know, would she be, you know, laser focused? Would she give a crap, you know, right. Like it's all these interesting things to think about. But yeah, I guess I don't know if you have a favorite, Eli.
One of the most legendary discussions we had was in the first season when we had Monkey D. Luffy from One Piece fighting Captain America from Endgame. And so Monkey D. Luffy is one like top 10 character for me and Captain America's top 10 character for Jay. So that got personal a little bit of just like, I don't know.
Yeah, that was definitely one where I was making arguments and I was like, I was making arguments for Cap and I was like, I don't know if I believe that, but I'm going to say it anyways. Maybe Eli will. And
no, it's always difficult to like get your favoritism out of your brain. Because I remember one discussion we had this season with Yorick, Bjornsson from his Dark Materials versus Blue from Jurassic World. And like, I love Bjork. I stan Bjork till death. But when Jay kept bringing up all these good points, I was just like, no, I want the polar bear and the armor to win. Give this to me. but you always have to take a step back. It's just like, all right, it's a podcast. We're just having fun. Don't like get upset or anything.
Right. Yeah.
Well, what's interesting about IPs like fandoms, right? Whether it's a favorite character or favorite game, it's kind of like music where really it's so individual because there's always an emotional aspect to it. So you wonder, like, how could your friend just love Nickelback or whatever, maybe? You know what I mean? But, like, you never know. Like, he may have found that band at a critical point in his life, and it just sticks with them. It resonates. And it's the same thing with fictional characters, and you see all that diversity between people, and everybody kind of gets their biases. No, like, there's no way that a panda could be Paul Mike or Captain America, yeah. You know? But you all bring that different aspect, because when you take those characters out of their respective worlds and environments and the rules that those characters operate in, move them somewhere else, it really does kind of open the mind and really it shows that kind of anything's on the table, because all of these characters do have these crazy skill sets, and a lot of times in their worlds, we only see them in one way.
I instantly think of like Aang. Because I'm sure that you guys got a lot of feedback when you brought Aang from Avatar The Last Airbender into your tournament, and the fandom probably went crazy. Like, well, Avatar Aang is unstoppable. It doesn't matter what's on the other side of it.
Well, that's the thing that we get into all the time, is that, you know, like, these are some people's absolute favorite characters of all time, and all they saw was Aang absolutely obliterate everybody on his path. But, you know, and our first matchup with him was against a Pokemon, against Lucario. And to be honest, you know, like, you look at Lucario and you break down a Pokemon, you look at his literal weaknesses, one of them being fire, you know, Lucario's probably going to lose that fight. But that's up to us. That's up to me and Eli and whatever guests that we have on the episode to make it an interesting fight. Because if someone was writing this fight between these two characters in this random location that we've given, they wouldn't, it wouldn't just be a one shot. It wouldn't just be, you know, he instantly, you know, Aang with his cerebral avatar knowledge instantly identifies his major weakness and launches a fire blast at him. You know, that might happen in Avatar, but, you know, if we're going to make it, we have to make it interesting, but still come to the right decision at the end, because Aang did win, you know, and I would feel like would win decisively if you just took their, raw powers and you wanted to be boring about it, then yeah, of course, you know, our episodes would be 10 minutes long. But that's not what we're going for at all.
It'd be a quarterly PDF. Here you go. Like.
Exactly. That's not that is the opposite of what we want. You know,
we definitely didn't want to be like bureaucratic of just like, well, we punched the numbers and we determined, you know, this. I mean, that's part of why Jay included a bunch of randomized locations. Like, certain situations we had characters probably wouldn't have won, but the environment suited their skill set better, so they came out on top. So like we said, it's, you know, like, if you go with the numbers, say, in March Madness, yeah, the lower seeds always win, but that's not why you watch. You want to see those upsets. And so that's why, with Jay being the bracketologist, has has constructed this artifice for all these cool matchups with potential upsets. Yeah, we don't just want, like, a Superman just, well, it's Superman, he wins, you know, then what's the
right,
point?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's boring, yeah.
I think I made this reference once when I was on your show with VCU, but I'm going to switch it up and go with like a hometown college. You want a Mount St. Mary's to make a shocking upset. And I say that because Mount St. Mary's is literally 40 minutes away from me. Nobody knows about that college except for people around here until they, you know, they win the NEC conference and get a chance to dance a little bit. So,
yeah, no, it's all about it's about having fun. If we're having fun, you know, as podcasters, having a fun conversation, then, you know, we just hope that a little bit of that rubs off on a listener and, you know, inspires them to go watch something cool or have a fun conversation with someone around them. You know, that's really all you can hope for, I think.
I do want to shout out. We need to, very rarely get pedantic responses, but one time I had somebody bring up the speed of like bullet time velocity for the human's reaction speed. And it was like, there's no way Yennefer would have responded to bullets that quickly. And I'm just like, oh God. Like, she's a sorceress, but she's not that fast. And I was just like, he pulled up the numbers. Like, he crunched the numbers and showed me. And I was like, ooh, all right, I'm going to direct this to Jay.
Right. Well, see, that's what happens when you get, you know, like, characters that people really care about, because he was a huge Marvel fan. And so, you know, Yennefer beat Falcon and Winter Soldier. Now that Falcon and Winter Soldier is out retroactively, I'm watching the series and I'm like, I don't know about that decision. But regardless, at that time, you know, it took place in the Avatar world during Sozin's Comet. That's going to have an effect on Yennefer's magic, you know? Yeah. So like, you know, we can have interesting things like that happen. And like, it was impossible to ignore that, you know, power burst that she would get, you know? And so, yeah, like I'm getting pedantic because I'm like defending my decision right now, but you know, so it's so easy to slip into.
But we always say, you know, once you have people reaching out on the internet like that to you, that's when you know you made it.
Yeah.
Like, somebody cares enough to spend all this time to come at me with something. It's like, hey, would you listen, bro?
Say, I got the download, man, so right. Who's the real winner here?
Right.
And then you have them on and they bring a whiteboard and you're like,
oh. I am not prepared for this. So you all clearly have a pretty good love for characters in the world of geekery. Do you have a first love? Like, what really kind of got you into the world of geekery or, you know, kind of fantasy characters, whatever it may be?
Well, I'll go first because Jay looks like he's deep in thought.
Yeah, I got to think on that one. But yeah, go ahead.
Well, in the world of, so like, one of my big loves is, like I mentioned before, anime. And growing up, I love staying up late and watching Toonami and watching those late night blocks of like the Dragon Ball Zs, the Yu Yu Hakusho's, Rurouni Kenshin, stuff like that. And so in terms of like the geek mindset, that was really formative. And my favorite of those was, I mentioned earlier, was One Piece, like the character of Monkey D. Luffy, because the show is basically just a pirate adventure. And as a young kid, it's just like pirates with superpowers fighting each other. Like, hell yeah. Nice. So, So it was that experience and really just opened up with all the anime. And then One Piece, I kind of joke, people say that's my Bible. Like, a lot of my life, whenever I come to a decision, I'm just like, what would the characters in One Piece do? I got to think about this. Kind of half joking, half not. So, yeah, if you kind of had to twist my arm and pick one, I would say One Piece specifically was a very big impact on me.
Okay, cool. How about you, Jay?
Yeah, I would say I would say two major ones. I would say the first one was probably Jurassic Park. I would say that would be the first like entry into pop culture franchises, you know, okay, truly, yeah. You know, geekery, like Jurassic Park. Well, the movie, you know, I wasn't old enough to be able to see the movie in theaters when it originally came out, but you know, it was, you know, we had the VCR tape, you know, the videotape of it. And that I watched that on repeat, still far too young to be able to watch Jurassic Park, mind you. However, you know, that was extremely formative, you know, in my desire for more science fiction and, you know, desire to get into, you know, the broader world of pop culture. And so, you know, Jurassic Park was really, I think, what got me started, you know, what kind of set me off on the right path, I'll say. Yeah. And then I would say Star Wars kind of lifted me into, you know, fully, I mean, I'm wearing a t-shirt that has stormtroopers eating ice cream. And
as they do.
Exactly. You know, as you do as a stormtrooper, of course.
Hot days on Tatooine, man.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. You know, Star Wars is what really like lifted me into geek culture, into nerd culture, you know, and made it okay, you know, because I got into it in middle school. You know, middle school is just terrible for so many reasons. But, you know, Star Wars, you know, made it okay, you know, to be around people of the same ilk, of the same geekery, and be able to have something to talk about, you know. And that was prequel era for sure, you know. Yeah. And at the time they were fantastic, you know. And going back to Jurassic Park 3, I also didn't see a problem with the Velociraptor talking on a plane during a dream sequence. But, you know, as an adult, I can look back and say, yeah, that was rough, boys. That was rough. But regardless, it got me there, you know, and it got me to all these different things I'm into today, you know, whether it is She-Ra, you know, on Netflix, and going back and watching some of the 80s stuff, you know, that came out, and how cheesy and terrible it is, but how great it is, you know, because it inspired, you know, what it is today. So, yeah, I Jurassic Park to Star Wars to, you know, really open up the world for me, I would say. Yeah.
Very cool. Have you ever read the Jurassic Park book, like Michael Crichton?
Yes, I have. I've read it two or three times now. Yeah. That's definitely a favorite of mine. Like I didn't think, yeah, with how much I love the movie, it's one of my favorite movies ever. And I did not think that the book was going to come close to,
right,
you know, my love of the movie, but it really did. It was really fun to read and intense. Yeah. My God, I was holding my breath through some sections.
Yeah, it's even more intense than the movie. And I remember, you know, because kind of the same thing, right? Like when they came out in theaters, we were a little too young for it to be appropriate. But at some point in adolescence, I remember talking about the movie and a friend that Kyle and I went to high school with, like her mom being a huge Michael Crichton fan, and was just like, oh my God, you got to read the book. And then just kind of put it in my hands. And
yeah,
like some of it's intimidating because he gets really, really into the science. And so there's some, like, you know, 30 letter words in there that you can't pronounce. But to your point, the action and everything is awesome.
There's 30 letter words. John Hammond is the worst in the books.
Right?
He's like gets everything he deserves. He's not the charming old man, you know, old grandpa that he is in the movie. But you know, like looking at it, like all those changes make perfect sense. If John Hammond was, you know, like a terrible person, then, right, you know, the movie doesn't work in the same way, you know? So like there's so many, like retroactively reading, so many great changes. I think, yeah. I think it's definitely like one of the best adaptations, I think, you know, I mean, obviously by virtue of numbers, you know, by money made, it's one of the greatest adaptations ever, but you know, quality wise too, you know, I think it's really great. Yeah.
Totally agreed.
So along the same lines, doubling back to One Piece, Eli, is there anywhere that you've seen One Piece kind of transition that you liked or didn't like? They brought a lot of those characters into kind of like an all anime battle fighter, like about a year ago.
Oh, Jump Force?
Yeah, and Jump Force. Yeah, exactly. Jump Force is exactly where I was going. Like, didn't know if you played it, if you enjoyed it, if you liked that representation.
I don't need to play that. I saw some of it, and I was always like, nah, I'm good. But I did play a bunch of One Piece video games when I was younger, and I loved that. That was so cool to, like, be able to play, like, oh, I can punch people the same way Luffy does, or I get to activate all those cool abilities with a press of a button. I will say, however, I fell off One Piece for a while because the anime, like, it's rough. I mean, anybody who knows, right now One Piece is at like 950 episodes or something.
Wow.
And has no, like, it probably still has like 5 more years left to keep going. So I fell off of it for a while because I couldn't, like, I would miss a week or wait a week and nothing would happen. It would just be like, I don't want to do this anymore. But then I kept it was still in the back of my brain. I kept checking in on it. I was just like, oh, all this cool stuff is going on. They get a cyborg crew member. And so I eventually bit the bullet and I was like, I'm not going to watch it, but I'm going to read the manga. I'm going to read the comic. And just within like a weekend, 3 days, I read over like 550 chapters. Just wow. A binge, the ultimate binge set.
Super fan.
Yeah, set. My eyes glazed over, but I kept going. I needed to know. I couldn't sleep. After I was done, I got up and like wandered, like, oh my God, what is life? What am I doing? So,
but did you try throwing punches and like arms didn't like rubber out and you were weirded out?
I know, it was so weird. I kept pulling a finger, but it kept popping instead of stretching. But no, I think that's a testament though to like its impact on me that I couldn't let it go. Even though I stopped watching the series, I would still just check in and be like, oh, I love that world, I love those characters, I still like, I want to know what's going on. And after I realized it's not getting out of my head, I have to just double down. And so that's why when people are like, how can you get into this, it's so long, it's just it's the journey. Like,
yeah,
I was gonna say, you mentioned like people being like, how do you keep up with it? But it sounds like you've been with One Piece kind of from the beginning, maybe on and off, but it's different than if, say, like I wanted to go try and jump in right now and I'd be like, you know what, from episode one, I'm gonna get through this.
Yeah.
And then I'm 70 years old by the time I get
950. Well, Chris, my first thought when he said 900 some episodes, I'm like, gosh, we thought Critical Role was bad.
Right. Yeah.
like that's yeah. That's other level stuff right there.
Yeah, what do you always say, Eli? Like, you'll never actually, like you love the series to death, but you still find it incredibly difficult to actually recommend to people.
Yeah, it's just like people are like, would you recommend One Piece? I'm like, no, it's like a great show that you'll love. But if you like, that's the thing, that's the dangerous part. If you watch
you
it,
value you'll get your time.
Binge, I think Binge Clock has it like at 29 hours. No, not 29 days of just straight binge watch if you want to catch up. So, but that's the thing though, is that it's difficult for me to recommend, not because it's bad, but because if you watch it, you'll get hooked and then you'll lose all that time. So
it's costing people their jobs, their families, their lives, and you don't want that on your conscience.
No, I'm not. No, I'm good.
Oh man. Well, that's too good. That's too good. Well, I think we are, about wrapping up here. We had a few follow-ups here. We kind of want to pit you two against each other, 'cause we know week in, week out, you two often go at it, you know. We've heard stories all from a good place, all from a positive place. So are you guys familiar with Legends of the Hidden Temple?
Yes.
yeah okay.
So our big one here is, who wins in a race or in a battle for the Olmec?
Battle Eli versus Battle Jay.
Oh, us. Oh,
yeah. Uh-huh. And Kyle, it wasn't the race to get Olmec. It was Battle Eli versus Battle Jay set in Olmec's temple.
Okay.
Oh, like a 1v1?
1v1, man. We're bracketologying you all.
Jay even knows that might be tough.
What are you saying that might be tough?
I don't know. You have reach, man, but...
We've had this discussion before, Eli.
Didn't you concede because I actually took martial arts?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. My drive so supersedes yours to beat
That's
you
fair.
Up.
That's fair.
Beat you up. I would be 1,000 times more determined to beat you up than you would to beat me up. See, you took martial arts in self-defense, which is detrimental.
You would take self-defense to hurt people.
So we have our supervillain, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, yeah. If we're taking in, like, personalities, yeah, Jay would probably win, because I think he'd bite fingers first, you know what I mean? Ooh, yeah. And at that point, I'm like, yeah, you're good.
Shove your hand into Olmec's mouth.
Yeah.
Olmec let him bite your fingers off.
I'd shove his whole body in there.
I'm the younger brother, and my brother, Jay's the older brother, so I think that old brother energy will come out in force, I think.
This is the other thing we have regular discussions about, is one of the reasons that I think that we do get along pretty well is that we are both one of two brothers. I am an older brother, he is a younger brother, and I think that informs a lot of how our relationship operates sometimes. But I think I got him.
So he's got the skill, but you've got the rage, and from what we heard earlier, the mental calculation side of things. It seems like
exactly
maybe a little more cerebral.
There is a chance I would galaxy brain myself out of existence, and I would try to do too much and just slip and fall and knock myself out, but you know,
yeah, I mean, because you got to navigate Olmec's temple, right? So there's like trap doors everywhere, there's ball pits you got to jump past. I mean, right. How good are you at swinging on ropes, Eli?
fairly good. I mean, okay, that's the thing though. If we're going through a temple, Jay is taller, so he's gonna have a harder time crouching and going in things. So maybe I might have a bit of a plus side on that.
No, but I have experience crouching. throughout like my entire experience. Life.
You've been to those McDonald's PlayStations you had to like crawl through.
Exactly, Eli. I'm glad you understand.
Oh man, that's too good. That's too good. Well, we appreciate you guys. Just I was all caught up thinking about like being like in a ball pit and
while fighting it out.
I'm pulling up like out of the like a pit or something with three glass bottles, and I'm like, Jay, come on, play.
Just snatch him.
Jaws from the water,
but out of the balls.
Oh man,
they got to reboot Nick Gas and bring us in. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I regularly say I would pay good money to do like a, well, I'm already 35, but my 40th birthday. If like get me an open room like on the crag and just let me spend all day on the crag or like on the American Gladiators set or something like that, I'm all in on that.
Yeah. That, the crag has inspired so much like imagination of just like I want that. You know? I want to climb that. It'll take me like 3 minutes or probably less, but I don't care.
Or the Nick Arcade where you could actually like somehow go into the video games.
Yes.
What was that show called?
I think it was Nick Arcade.
Was it Nick Arcade? Okay.
Yeah. And then that's all ruined when you realize it's just a kid on a green screen.
I know. Somebody
shouting like a weatherman when to stand up and sit down.
It's 2021. We can get into the games. There's. Come on.
I've seen Ready Player One.
Exactly. Where's the Oasis?
But, all right. Well, we do appreciate you guys joining us here today. So, but before we sign off, we want to give the listeners one more chance to find you. So hit us with the social media and where they can find your podcast.
Yeah, that's going to be Super Bracket Bros again at anywhere you find podcasts. But we are on Facebook and Instagram as well. If you want to get a taste before you dive in, you want to see, do I actually care about any of these characters? Then Facebook's where you're going to want to head first. If you find Super Bracket Bros, pin post at the top of the page, you'll see the bracket for season 3, which we're currently in. But yeah, we're currently in the round of 32 for season 3. So we're having a lot of fun with these first round matchups. They're always a crapshoot as far as, you know, what we're going to get. And, but yeah, I would definitely, if you enjoy Kyle and Chris, you know, obviously we're going to have both of them on the podcast very soon. Very same energy, you know. So if you enjoy this, you're going to enjoy Super Bracket Bros. You know, we would really appreciate having you guys come give us a listen. But thank you guys for having us on. This was a lot of fun. It's always fun to talk about the thing, you know. Just geek out about stuff, you know. It's really that simple. So thank you guys for giving us that opportunity.
Yeah, glad to have you on.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this chapter, be sure to hit the subscribe button to get new chapters of Geek Catch Up every 2 weeks on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Castbox, or wherever you listen to your podcast. Be sure to follow the show on social media, and you can find us on Facebook and YouTube at Geek Catch Up Podcast, or on Twitter and Instagram at Geek Catch Up Pod. Links to all these accounts are in the show notes below and on our website, geekketchuppodcast.com. Stay saucy, you nerds.